Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Chilasi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What to speak of human beings? Even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandharvas, charana, and the various directors of the universe, the prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Purport. Even the asuras observed the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanakya Pandita says, Matrivat para dareshu, one should consider another wife to be one's mother. The asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, the Gandharva, the Charanas, and the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, had come there to find a husband among all those present, the Daityas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on. Om Agyanati Nirandasya Gyanam Janam Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Inabhutale Sayam Rupa Karamaya Dadati Svavaram Namo Mahavadanya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goradvishe Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Vansha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Mokam Makaruti Vachalam Pango Mlangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shiguruji Nataranam. So, this is the demons addressing Krishna, appeared in the form of Mohini Murti. So we can see here that characteristic of the demons, as soon as they saw one woman, they desire to marry that woman, to enjoy that one. This is one demonic quality, nature to want to exploit material energy for the pleasure of the senses. This is demonic quality. But still, at this time, although they were demons, they were still following the etiquette that you have to speak properly to a woman. And what is interesting in this verse that they are actually expressing their feeling for that young girl, which seems like feeling full of lust, because they are desiring that she will, choose them as husband. But actually, because they are speaking to the Supreme Lord, that is not really lust, because their attraction to Krishna is not attraction for matter, but they are here attracted by the Supreme Lord. So Krishna appearing in that form of Mohini Murti is just like mixing these two kind of feelings, lust and, you know, pure attraction together. And this is a game that Krishna is doing actually, to catch the demon by engaging their tendency, you know, to exploit the things by appearing as a very beautiful woman. He could have appeared as any form. He could have appeared as Narsinga to settle the battle. He could have done that. But he decided to play that pastime, to appear as a beautiful girl, because he had also some other intent to do in that form, which was to bewilder Lord Shiva after, that will come after. So even Lord Shiva was bewildered by that Mohini Murti form of Krishna. So it's natural. Now, that shows that this attraction that they are feeling now, this is not material attraction. They think it is material attraction, but this is not material attraction, because this is Krishna, this is the form of Krishna. So this is like kind of a mixed feeling. Like when Kumsha saw Krishna, she had also some mixed feeling that was not completely pure. There was some mixing, the mixed desire. And another point interesting here is that as soon as Krishna is present, in contact with him, all the words that anyone can say, they come in under the control of the divine energy. So whatever they say becomes actually glorification, even if they try to speak some material things. Like when Lord Chaitanya was chastised by Keshav Kashmiri, you know, this Digvijay Pandit. Mm-hmm. When he came, and Lord Chaitanya made some reflection to him, then he spoke some few things to Lord Chaitanya which were not so nice. But in his purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining that these words that the Digvijaya Pandit said to Mahaprabhu, they can be interpreted in another way also. And then they become glorification. So actually, to the ears of Chaitanya, they were very pleasing. Because at that time, Sarasvati Devi, the goddess of learning, she inspired him unknowingly to speak such words, which actually from him would seem like not such nice words, but what came out of his mouth finally were also understandable as glorification. So here they're saying this, we have nobody has never touched you before. This is true. They are establishing the purity of Krishna, actually. Without, unknowingly, they are glorifying Krishna, that he is completely pure, nobody has ever touched him. Then in the next verse, they will go on and say, "Oh, beautiful girl with beautiful eyebrows, certainly Providence, by his causeless mercy, has sent you to please the senses and mind of all of us." Is it not a fact? So that also is a glorification. They are saying the Providence, by his causeless mercy, has sent Mohini Murti. What they don't know is that Mohini Murti is Providence personified. He is Krishna, because when we say Providence, that means the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord has sent you out of his causeless mercy, and that's, they are saying the truth, unknowingly, you know. To please our senses and mind. And this is true, because Krishna is Govinda. He is the source of all pleasure for the senses of the mind and the mind. So not to please materially here, but transcendental senses. Krishna appeared in this form of Mohini Murti, and they became purified by seeing that form. Of course, because they were beholding the Supreme Lord in front of them, in the form of a woman. So this is different intricacies that Krishna likes to do by his appearances. How he likes to play with people. Krishna is an actor and he is an expert dresser. There is this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam explaining that the perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram entering the forest of Vrindavan, because they are dressed like the best of actors, you know, with flowers on their ears. Krishna likes to put some flowers here on his ears, and flowers on his turbans and decoration, and some jewels, but not so much in Vrindavan. Krishna likes more flower decorations. Rupa Goswami is explaining that actually Krishna has flower earrings, Krishna has a flower crown, Krishna has flower, how to say, bangles, flower armlets, flowers ankle belts, flower garland, and even flower shoes. Huh. Krishna has some flower shoes. Everything in flower. So, like you can see, Radha Shyama Sundari are always so much, you know, dressed with flowers. If you look in Vrindavan, Radha Shyama Sundari, they are simply dressed, but there is always so much flower on them that the opulence comes from the flower. They don't wear so much necklaces and this, and like you can go and see to Tirupati. Yeah. The outer attire of Lord Venkateshwar is, everything is pure gold and real jewels and this. They don't wear this, but they wear so much flowers that this makes natural appearance of Vraj. The real treasure of, the real wealth of Vraj is in flowers and fruits, more than diamonds. Diamonds, I look in the eyes of the inhabitant of Goloka, look like pebbles. Because
look like
what? Pebbles.
Pebbles.
Because for them, every pebble in Goloka is either ruby or emerald or crystal. There is no, like, silex. You know silex? The stone? There is no granite in the, there is no, you know, basic or, I don't know how to say. I don't know the English word of the stones, but you know basic stone that you find in the field here? There is not this kind of stone in Goloka. There is only precious stone, or what we call semi-precious stone, but in their precious version. They have the semi-precious stone in their precious version. So everything there, even the Acharya described us that even the trees are made of jewels. The trunk of the trees in Goloka are either made of ruby or emerald or solid gold. But these are trees. They are growing also, they are moving, but their trunk and branches are made of solid gold. And their leaves are leaves of crystal or lapis lazuli or sapphire. But still, it's not that they are hard, like, they are also soft. You understand? They have the same texture like ordinary tree, but they are not made of wood. They are made of a very higher substance. And all this, above all, Chintamani means transcendental touchstone. Desire trees of Vraj. So these things are common, but flowers have a special part in Krishna's pastime, because they decorate Radha and Krishna with so many different kinds of flowers. This kind of flower we don't have so much here. Like in the West, we have this fragrant, deprived flowers. my spiritual master used to call this colorful grass. Because actually it has no smell. So is it really flower? It's more like colorful grass. So this is a beautiful description. Mohini Murti, Krishna in form of Mohini Murti has come to please the mind and the senses of the demons, but they don't know that Krishna will play more with them and cheat all of them. Krishna is like that. He likes to cheat the cheaters. Yes, that is his way of doing. If you want to be cheated, then you will be cheated by Krishna. And he said, no, in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the cheater of the cheater. It is something like that. There is one verse like this.
I think he says, of all gamblers, I am the cheat.
Yeah, like this. So Krishna can be a very great cheat. If you are a cheater, because he will never cheat his devotees, or only for increasing their love, but that will not be really cheating, because the intention will be to serve them. Because Krishna is only acting for the benefit of his devotees. So naturally they feel attracted by this beautiful form of Krishna. As the form of Krishna is all attractive, this is the symptom of the Supreme Lord. He is never ugly. His beauty is always unlimited. And that was the common experience of all those who saw Krishna. Even though they may not all have realized that he was the Supreme Lord or the source of everything, you know, they all were dumbfounded by his beauty. They were just, when Krishna entered the arena in Mathura, Krishna and Balaram, actually, everybody in the public and even to the guards and wrestlers and King Kamsa, they were struck with wonder by the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. And during some few instants, they just were gazing at them, completely amazed. What is this kind of person? We have never seen such beauty. Yeah? Then they realized, oh no, we have to fight him. They came back to their demoniac senses. But during a few seconds, they could appreciate also the beauty of Krishna. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. And that was also Jiva Goswami explaining, I don't remember, but Prabhupada explained in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Jiva Goswami said that the weapon of Lord Chaitanya was his beauty. Because Lord Chaitanya was so beautiful that everybody would become completely attracted by him. Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you know, when he found Mahaprabhu, when he saw Mahaprabhu entering in the Jagannath Puri temple. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there in the temple. There was a festival on that day. Then all of a sudden, they saw a huge person, because Mahaprabhu was very huge, you know. How much? 3 feet high? No, 7 feet high. 7 feet high. Golden form. They saw him entering and running at the speed of the mind. He just ran across the temple room and jumped in the air. When he arrived in the middle of the temple room, he just jumped in the air like that. And when Mahaprabhu was jumping, he was really jumping. You know? So he jumped because he's beyond the law of gravity, so he can make any jump he wants. So he jumped in the air, but while in the air, suddenly then he collapsed on the floor. And that made a tremendous sound. And everybody turned to see what happened. And they saw that young boy, he was just 24 years old. That young boy with a golden body, completely effulgent, with topmost beauty, beautiful eyes, you know, everything is. Because Mahaprabhu has all the beauty of Krishna, only that he is golden. Otherwise he has all the same how to say feathers, same feathers as Krishna. And at that time he had also no more hair. But they saw that young boy dressed as a sannyasi, that means he is only wearing one gamsha, lower garments up to his knees, there lying on the ground. And then the guards, they came and they tried to beat him, because they wanted to bring him back to his senses. You cannot do that in Jagannath's temple. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had a more refined perception, could see, oh, this is not an ordinary person. So he just came in front of the guards and he stopped them, rejected them. He said, no, don't do that. I will take care of that person. And then he started gazing at Mahaprabhu and he thought, who is that jewel-like personality? I have never seen such a person. So they brought Mahaprabhu, they all carried the body of Mahaprabhu, who was in an ecstatic swoon. They brought him. And we imagine the good fortune of these people who were there, that they had to lift up the transcendental body of Mahaprabhu, laying on the ground, completely absorbed in on the topmost, form of ecstasy that we cannot even imagine in which kind of state he was at that time. So they lift him up. And they had to carry his body like that. And you know, when you're carrying the Supreme Lord, there is a special feeling in the heart. Because when you're pujari, sometimes you will have to carry the deities. And when you carry the deities, then you realize this is a feeling very special to carry the deity. Either Gurmitai or Radha Krishna, sometimes when we bring them for the Abhishek, we have to carry them, you know, or for Julan Yatra, to put them on the swing, we have to carry them, or to bring in different places. Like I was in 2008 in Balaram Purnima in Vrindavan, and in the afternoon we did parikram of the temple with Krishna Balaram, two small deities. A pujari took them. I guess two pujari. And you know, like we are going on parikam every morning with Prabhupada around the temple, so we did the same thing but with Krishna Balaram deities, like this. And we were all dancing, like Krishna Balaram party, you know. It was very ecstatic. Dancing Sankirtan all around Krishna Balaram and turning in the temple. So, like this, when you carry the Supreme Lord, there is a very special connection between you and him. Although he is inactive, he was in a swoon like this. But then they brought him to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then sent everybody out and closed the door and start to make a diagnostic of Mahaprabhu. What is happening to this young boy? Let me try to understand. Because he could feel, in his heart he could feel, this is not something normal. But he could not guess what it is. He could see this is not just a swoon or material or disease, or, you know. So he started to look at him and he said, this is a symptom of transcendental ecstasy. But normally this doesn't exist in this material universe. I didn't know that this was possible to be seen in this world. These are actually the symptoms of Krishna Prema. That means Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya already knew quite a bit about Krishna Prema and the spiritual world. Then all of a sudden he heard someone knocking on the door, and he opened, and that was Nityananda. Because they were just behind him, you know, they came. This is when Mahaprabhu arrived for the first day. This is his first day in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Nityananda and Mukunda and Damodar Pandit and Jagadananda were accompanying him. So they just showed up at that time also. They all entered into his room. And he had already one, now he has five. And he's looking at them because now Nita is also here. And he's looking and he... And then he said, oh, you must be his friends, no? Some similar aspect is there between some kind. You could see they are the same kind of person, you know. Also very beautiful and golden bodies. Are you his friend? He said, yes. What happened to him? He said, I don't know, he's like here. Then they said, okay, we know. Don't be afraid. We know how to solve this problem. We have to do Nam Sankirtan. So they sat around the body of Lord Chaitanya, who was still lying unconscious on the ground. Then they all started singing. So this is Nityananda singing Mukunda. Mukunda Ghosh. Mukunda Ghosh. Mukunda Dat. Mukunda Dat. Jagadananda and Damodar Pandit. They were there. With also Gopinath Acharya, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But he's also an associate of Mahaprabhu from Navadvipa. He just came before Mahaprabhu and married the daughter of Sarvabhauma. Then they started chanting. And they were chanting for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu. They were chanting to bring him back, you know, softly, to the external consciousness. This is one very beautiful meditation that when we are doing kirtan, we can sing. We are doing kirtan also for Mahaprabhu, like this. The Lord is lying on the floor and we are chanting for him. Not chanting for us, but we are chanting for him to bring him back to his senses, or just to, how do you say, to nourish his ecstasy. Because when we are chanting the holy name, this is also nourishing the ecstasy of the Supreme Lord. When the devotees were chanting, Lord Chaitanya would say to them, bol, 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 go again, go on singing, don't stop, please. Mahaprabhu would say this, please don't stop, go on singing. So they would sing, and Mahaprabhu would ask more and more, and they would sing, because by hearing and chanting the name of Krishna, one is transported into the presence and experience of Krishna on a very pure level. When one's heart is completely purified, as soon as the sound vibration of the holy name of Krishna touches the ears and the heart, one is transported into the presence, direct darshan of Krishna. So he can experience internally with his eyes, with the eyes of his heart, he can see Krishna, he can see the spiritual world, the past of Krishna. So this is the beautiful aspect of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada gave us. We have to understand that the best path in our life is to worship Mahaprabhu. Worship the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. This is the best path. Like Narottam Das Thakur sang, Gaurangera duti padam se jane sampada se jana sampada se jane bhaktira sasari. That person who makes the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya the treasure of his life, that person has understood the essence of spiritual life, of bhakti. Because this is the greatest secret. If you want to progress, just make the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu the treasure of your life. And focus your life on these two lotus feet. And from that simple meditation, everything will be revealed. Everything. Narottam Das Thakur is revealing all this in his song. You know this song? Gaurangera Tuttipada. Gaurangera Namaloya Tarahoya Premodaya. So then, yeah, then Narottam Das Thakur say, Gauranga Madhurya Dila Jarakarne Praveshila Ridaya Nirmana Velota. If a person hears, the description of Lord Chaitanya's sweet pastime, Madhurya Lila, if this, the description of Lord Chaitanya's sweet pastime enter the ears of someone, then the heart of that person will become completely purified. This is the process to purify the heart, according to Narottam Das Thakur, just to let our ears hear about the pastime of the sweet pastime of Mahaprabhu, then our heart will become nirmala, without any impurity. So simple. Just absorb your mind and consciousness in thinking about Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Then chanting the holy name will become so easy. It's difficult to meditate on Radha and Krishna. Because the pastime of Radha and Krishna, they are only accessible for those who are already completely pure. Before being completely pure, we can try to meditate on Radha and Krishna, but we will not be able to touch this reality, because it is beyond the impurity. So, but Lord Chaitanya is reachable. That means Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined together and extending themselves in order to reach us. You understand? So if we want to worship Radha and Krishna, and if we are intelligent, then we will just worship, we will just approach them in the form in which they extend themselves to reach us. This is just logical, no? And this is their merciful form. That in that form they extend themselves so much that they decided to oversee any offenses, to not consider any offenses we will do. So it's so easily approachable, you know. So we have to accept this beautiful form of Radha Shamsundar in our life, which is Lord Chaitanya. And we have to see always Lord Chaitanya as being Radha and Krishna combined. It's difficult, but this is a meditation. When you see the body of Mahaprabhu, you have to see that actually in this body there is like two person, how to say, merged one in another, or one in, like one inside and one outside. Antar Krishna Bahir Gaur. Inside is Krishna, outside is Radharani. But even this is actually more more complicated than this, because outside is bodily color of Radharani, inside is Krishna. But inside Krishna is again mood of Radharani. So in that way, yeah, you know. Because Radha and Krishna, they are one and the same soul. Radha Krishna pranaya vikriti ladini shakti asma. Ekatmana vapi. Bhuvipur dehabedam gato to. Although Radha and Krishna are only one soul, eternally, that one soul, for the sake of pastime, divide, I don't know how to say, himself or herself, in two bodies, deha bedam getoto, and that soul manifests two bodies. But in these two bodies, the body of Radharani and the body of Krishna, there is only one soul. You understand? This is one soul in two bodies. But this is one soul. Radharani said that in the same book I was speaking yesterday. Prema Samputa, Radharani explained to Krishna this guy as a gopi. So we will still go on. It's more in Murti. She explained to her, actually, everything that Shyamasundara is thinking, I am aware of that.
You're what?
Aware of that. I know. As soon as something appears in his heart, I know it. Because they are the same, because we are the same soul. And she explained this. Then Radharani is explaining to that heavenly girl, so-called heavenly girl, which is in fact Krishna disguised as a gopi, you know. She is explaining to her that you don't understand my beloved, actually. You think he is cruel to others because you don't understand him, because you don't have access to his heart. But I know his heart. Then Krishna challenged, how do you know his heart? How can you pretend you know his heart? I think you're just completely bewildered by that young boy, and you are just completely controlled, and you just lost your reason. But she said, no, I know that I know his heart. So Krishna said, how can you pretend that you know his heart? According to the Shastra, nobody can know someone else's heart. That is one shloka saying this. Nobody can know. So Radharani said, because we are the same soul. She explained, like one lotus, from one stem, two flowers come. One golden and one blue. But these two flowers are coming from the same stem. This is one soul, one lotus. She's explaining. In the same way, me and Shyamasundara, we are the same person. And this is very, how to say, subtle pastime, because this is also Radharani speaking this to Krishna. And at the same time, she's not aware that this is Krishna in front of him. Because by the power of Yoga Maya, when that soul, or we can call that soul Krishna, we can say Krishna, but that soul is also Radha, because Prabhupada say actually Radha is the feminine form of Krishna. So this is the original feminine form of Krishna. But this is Krishna inside the Radha and his body. This is the soul of Krishna also. So that's why we call the absolute truth actually Radha Krishna and not only Krishna. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say actually that Krishna is only half of the absolute and the other half is Radharani. You cannot separate them, because if you worship only Krishna, then you are worshipping only half of the absolute. Radha Krishna is the absolute because they are one soul. And then she goes on describing that reality, and
Sarup Damodara Goswami in his verse, or Rupa Goswami, I don't remember. Krishna Pranaya Vikriti verse. And he said, then Chaitanyakyam Tatadvayam Chaikyam Aptam. But now these two personalities have again combined themselves in one body, which is Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya. Radha Bhava Yuti Suvalitam Nami Gaura Krishna Swarupam. This is actually Krishna having imbibed the mood of Radharani and externally her golden complexion. So when we are worshipping Gauranga, we know we are worshipping Radha and Krishna. This is not different. Just that we are worshipping the merciful form, most merciful form of Radha and Krishna. So it's difficult to approach the Absolute, the Supreme Lord, but the mercy of the Supreme Lord can come down to us. So actually we are not worshipper of Krishna. We are not worshipper of Radha and Krishna, but we are worshipper of the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Because that mercy can come to us. You understand? This is a very subtle point, but if you understand that point, that will change your understanding of Krishna consciousness, that we are actually worshipping the mercy of Radha and Krishna, begging for that mercy to reach us, to reach our life and our heart. And that mercy manifests itself, in the form of Mahaprabhu, and also in the form of the Holy Name, because Mahaprabhu further extended himself and further extended his mercy by giving us that transcendental Nam Sankirtan. So this, because Nam Sankirtan is coming from his mouth. So this is his expansion also. Nam Sankirtan is not different from Mahaprabhu. So in New York street, when we are chanting the Holy Name, actually, we are just worshipping Mahaprabhu. And as soon as we chant this Holy Name, with Mridanga and Kaltas, Lord Chaitanya is present, either in Union Square subway or Grand Central Station, Mahaprabhu is there. Kalikali Namarupi Krishna Avatarde. It is the same thing like if Krishna would appear directly in his Satchitananda Vigra, in his transcendental form. He is appearing in the form of the sun. Subtle, so that the people, they cannot see, but they can feel. We can see. Sometimes they can feel. Yesterday, there was one small boy, he became completely ecstatic. He was in his, chair, like with his mother.
And I'm asleep.
Huh? Yeah. So they were twin. One was sleeping, and the other Garrison gave him two. I don't know what you call this. Shakers. Kalbas, we call this. I don't know. Shakers. Mm-hmm. And he stuck like this. Could not stop. He was really in two. And he was moving his head like this also. Then he started to do like that. Left to the right, and he was shaking like anything. And he did that during 10, 15 minutes non-stop. He was really in the Gita. And after, when his mother wanted to go, then she took the shaker out of his hand, and he was... He was reaching out with his hand. No, give me back. So that small boy could feel, wow, he felt something, he felt the presence, because that was Krishna. His eyes were wide open. I don't know even if he blinked during that time. His eyes were wide open. And we saw so many people, when they enter into the sound vibration, because our sound vibration not I mean, in the audible level, not going so far, but we have to know that sound vibration is never checked. After a certain distance, it becomes inaudible, but still it goes on. So when you sing, you do Nam Sankirtan in the subway, you have to know that the sound vibration of the Holy Name is going through all the tunnels of New York subway and reaching each and every station. Mm. Yes, of course. And through the entrance of the subway, then that sound vibration is also coming out. But this is, at that level, it's no more audible, because sound spread without being checked, but becomes weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. But this is unending. There is no one moment when the sound will be finished. Sound will never be finished. If you clap in your hand, the sound of that clapping will reach the other hand of the universe someday. It will never be finished. This is one particularity of sound, very special, very subtle. This is the most subtle element. So, then Lord Chaitanya appears like that. And we have to be in the proper mood also in order to bring that appearance of Lord Chaitanya, the potency of that appearance, and the potency of what the people will feel will depend a lot on our consciousness while we are chanting. So what should be our consciousness when we are doing Nam Sankirtan? That we have to learn in the song of Narottam Das Thakur and in the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because in their song they have given us the proper mood, you know, like Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo Mohore Toma Bina Ke Dayalu Jagat Samsari. This song is a very special song from Narottam Das Thakur. I was explaining in Montreal, I think 1 month ago, that actually in this song, if you make this song your life and soul, if this song, you know, after you, if you make this song your life and soul, then you are already living in Gaur Lila. You have reached already the pastime of Mahaprabhu. If this song becomes your life and soul. Because this is, when a Vaishnava sings this song with all his heart, then when you sing Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo Mohore, then Mahaprabhu appears in your heart. And you can feel the presence and see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Toma bina ke doyalu jagat samsari patita parvanaitu tava avatara. Without you are the topmost merciful person. You came to deliver the most fallen soul. Mosama patita prabhuna pai vihara. If you search everywhere in this world, you will never find someone more fallen than me. So this is the secret of Nam Sankirtan. You know, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroravi Seshunama, Ninamaradena, then Kirtaniya Sadahari. When you develop that mood, that Mosama Patita Prabhunam Pai Veha, then Nam Sankirtan will always be present in your heart without any interruption. Kirtaniya Sadahari. You don't, when you develop that mood, that humility, that in the whole universe, you cannot find someone more fallen than me. Just not by words, but you really feel that in your heart. Then you will not have any more, you will not have to do any more effort for chanting the Holy Name, because the Holy Name will chant Himself in your heart. He will just continuously, 24 hours a day, go on singing in your heart when you reach such level of humility. So Narottam Das Thakur is showing us the path, how to worship Mahaprabhu. Then he said, Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premanando Sukhi. Then when the devotees sing that, then Nitai appear in his heart. It's like Shad Darshan, you know, when pure devotees they sing like this, the whole Panchatattva, they appear one by one in his heart. Kripa bolo kono karo ami boro tu. Please be merciful. And then this is only like supplication, you know, it's just the mood of this song. This is like pratana. Pratana means a very deep, intense longing and supplication. Doya koro sitapati advaita rosa. Please give me your mercy. This is like a begging. Actually, a Vaishnava is a beggar. A beggar of a prema. Begging the pure love for Krishna. Please give me your mercy, O Advaita. This is approaching everyone, one by one, you know. Then, Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nita. By your mercy, you can enable me to approach Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Then he said, Aha Swarup Sanatana, turning now to all the associates of Mahaprabhu. Oh Swarup. I mean, he's literally falling at their feet, one after one, after another, no? Aha Swarup Sanatana. Rupa, Raghunath. Raghunath means here, Raghunath Das. Bhatta Juga, which is Gopal Bhatt Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. Sri Jiva, Prabhu Lokanath, his own spiritual master. Falling at the feet of all the Vaishnava and begging for their mercy. This is Gaura Lila. Gaura Lila means we have to learn how to make Dandavat. This is very important. Without Dandavat, we cannot enter Gaura Lila. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing in the first song of his Sharanagati. How do we say this? I don't remember the Bengali, it came out of my mind, but he said that falling at the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatan, who is a straw between my teeth, I catch their feet and beg, O Rupa and Sanatan, I am surely the lowest of man, of all men, but by your mercy, please, make me the topmost of all humans by teaching me the path of Sharanagati. This is how he's introducing his book of Sharanagati. So this is how we have to learn how to beg all the Vaishnavas to give us their mercy. More or less, our spiritual practice is nothing but begging for the mercy. This is our sadhana. No? Normally we start in the morning, this is just begging for the mercy of the spiritual master and Prabhupada. Vande Guru Sri Charanabra Bindam means we're just falling at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and offering our prayers. And so all these songs that Prabhupada gave us for the morning program, for example, they are also all these songs are actually, my spiritual master told me when I was very new devotee, he told me actually the song of Narottam and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they are the entrance door of the spiritual world. If you want to enter the spiritual world, then you have to go through this, you have to dive into these songs. And when you will dive into these songs, you will come out and on the other side in the spiritual world. You understand? This is like metaphor. Or you can imagine a drawer of water. You have to dive into it in order to. And when you come on the other side, actually you are in the spiritual world. Samsara Bhava Melody Loka. It's a very special song by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath say in the last verse, there is a ninth verse I was there into. Bhaktanya the other day that there is a ninth verse that we don't sing, which is saying that actually everybody who sings this song before sunrise every morning, in after leaving his body, he will attain Goloka. No doubt about this. So just by singing this prayer, Gurvastakam in the morning, but you have to sing it before sunrise, you have to be here every day for Mangala Arati. But if you do that, then you reach Goloka. Just by singing that song, such a powerful song. And this song, while we chant them, knowing their meaning also, because chanting something, the songs of the Acharya, without knowing their meaning is very less powerful. This is like chanting like Parrot. Parrot also chanting, but he doesn't know what the meaning of his chanting. But if we understand the words of this song, when we chant them, they will reveal themselves into our heart. Actually, what was there in the heart of Narottam when he wrote this song, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, will also be transferred into our heart. Then we got the realization, Divigyan, Ridhi Prakashita. And these songs, they have the power to transform completely our life, if we meditate on them, like the meaning of each sentence we say, they will reveal to us such wonderful things. And they will transport us to another world. And then we will find just ourselves in the middle of Gaura Lila, the pastime of Mahaprabhu, just through these songs. Because this is the way we enter into Goloka. First we have to go through Navadvipa. We have to go through Navadvipa and enter the pastime of Mahaprabhu. And simultaneously, Vraj will be revealed. But Lord Nityananda told to Jiva Goswami, if you're trying to approach Vraj directly, you will just end up nowhere. Because you cannot approach Vraj. You have to approach Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu, when you will worship the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu with all your heart, then his lotus feet, one day, just by worshipping his lotus feet, one day you will open your eyes and you will be swimming in the ocean emanating from Radharani's lotus feet in Vraj. You don't have to make any other effort. That will come in the proper time when you will be ready for that. But just worship Mahaprabhu and all this will happen. So this is our path, worshipping Vaishnavas and worshipping Mahaprabhu. And actually, the holy name will reveal himself to us depending on how much we treasure it in our life. If we take it like a cheap thing, then he will remain like some kind of mantra, cheap mantra. We can make some music with it, but that's it. But if we treasure it, you know, really treasure the holy name. That means every time we say it, either on our japa or in kirtan, we do it with really all our heart, which is the meaning also of sankirtan, because sam comes from samyak, which means complete. And generally we say that this is congregational, because complete in number, but that also means complete in quality, which means with all your heart, like Madhava Prabhu likes to say, with all your heart. So this is very good sentence that he is adding to his kirtan, because he is helping the devotees who are there to do really sankirtan, means singing with all your heart. So if we treasure the holy name like this and we are very careful every time we sing it, to sing it with all our heart, then the holy name will gradually reveal himself to us. If we don't have that attitude, then it will not. He will not. He will remain hidden. And we can go on chanting for life and life like this. But if we really put our heart into chanting, then you will have another experience. That's why Satchinandan Swami, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, is working so hard to make the devotee understand how to chant in a better way. I have seen in his kirtan, always before starting, he's saying to the devotee, so now we will sing, but we have to do it properly, in a special way. So he is giving some meditation and something that we have to imbibe. We are not just doing music, we are doing kirtan. So if we do that, that will really attract Krishna. And also, a great secret in chanting the holy name is that Krishna will reveal himself to you depending on how much you worship his devotees. Because the greatest treasure of Krishna are his devotees. So the more you develop attachment and love for his devotees, the more Krishna will come in your life. So there are two kinds of devotees of Krishna. All the devotees who are around us every day, our brothers and sisters in the temple and ashram where we are. We will say three levels of devotees. And there are also those who are our guides in this world, like the great devotees, pure devotees, who are our gurus and sannyasis, you know. We have to also worship them and give them a special place in our heart. And then they are the eternal associate of the Supreme Lord, who are no more here in this plane, but who are always accessible because they are eternally with Krishna. So wherever there is Krishna, wherever there are the deities, wherever there is the holy name, they are here also. So by placing this eternal associate of Krishna in our heart, the holy name will come to us without even us trying to reach him. Because Krishna will be attracted. Oh, this person loves the one I love also. So, you know, when you see someone who loves, someone that you yourself love, you become naturally attracted by that person, no?
Yeah, true.
We can experience this, for example, among God brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, you are my God brother. That means the one to whom you gave your life is also the one to whom I gave my life. So there is natural affinity which is coming, no?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel attraction also for that person, because we have something in common in our heart. And in wider perception, you will realize that actually all our spiritual masters, they are one and the same. So actually you will feel that all the members of our society, they are also my God brothers. Because when you accept spiritual master, you have to know that the God brother of that spiritual master automatically becomes also your spiritual master.
Wow.
Or as Prabhupada would say, spiritual uncles. But they become also your spiritual master. You cannot accept one without accepting the others. Otherwise this is that philosophy of accepting only half of the chicken. You know? This is a Bengali story that man who cut his chicken in two because he wanted only the eggs, but he didn't want to feed the chicken every day because that was costing him. So he wanted only the part who is giving the egg he wanted, so he cut. This is nonsense. You cannot, if you do this, it doesn't work anymore. So this is the philosophy of accepting only half of the chicken. So when we accept one spiritual master, we accept all the spiritual master of Mahaprabhu's movement, and we also accept all the acharyas as our, they also come into our life. Some contact is established. So by worshipping all these very great souls, that will attract the mercy of Krishna. It is very potential way, a powerful way to become recognized by Krishna. Okay? Thank you very much. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai.
Shri Harinam Ki Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai. Jai Prabhupada.